This is a replay of the Thursday night, February 13th, WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings unless sports preempt us. That's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoIP. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoIP. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
I'm Raleigh James. We've got 3 hours to spend together. If it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. Oh, we're going to talk about sound-alike record labels with Ed in Cleveland, which will be fun. And we've got Ruth and her fortune cookies. But before we get to any of that, a few things. Show note. I'm not singling out anyone, and this is more than one person, but we've heard from a lot of you distaste of this, and John and I agree that there really is no place for it on the air. So I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. If you're drinking, don't call. Now, it's great if you listen. We love that, and we hope you'll call on days when you're sober, but do not call if you're drinking. And so if that applies to you, we appreciate that. And that's one thing. There was something else too numerous to mention, but actually what I wanted to talk about was yet another way that you will lose your life savings or money you have in the bank, for instance. And this was a story out of the Chicago area. It was a former police sergeant who lost $87,000. And what happened was this woman did not report the loss within 30 days of the statement that rolled showing it. And this, by the way, is a problem at a lot of banks. And this, she worked for Markham Police Department, by the way, and we won't give her name, but she worked her butt off. And the overtime queen, because she wanted to save the money, she put all of it into Chase Bank in 2001 with no debit card and no checks. She absolutely wanted to make sure that she would have to go into the branch to collect the money because she was aware, even when she opened the account, of the possibility of identity theft, and she understood the foibles of doing anything online, so she avoided it like the plague. She would have to walk into the bank to make the transaction. So how is it she lost $87,000? Well, because someone walked into the bank, banks plural actually, lots of Chase branches, and impersonated her. And so she didn't find out till 2022 when she was given an insufficient funds message and she checked her account. For the first time in far too long, and she found out there were daily withdrawals amounting to thousands and thousands of dollars, someone impersonating her, multiple Chase branches, like I say. And, you know, she was given the withdrawal slips, and you could see the difference in the handwriting. And obviously, you could say, well, you can really make a case this woman had been defrauded, the bank should make it good. No. The bank should not make it good, and they will not make it good because she did not report the fraud within 30 days of receiving the first statement reflecting it. You've got to do that. And so I wanted to point this out because you do have certain protections, and if you don't do your part, the banks do not have to come through for you, period. And so, she's out $87,000. Now, my advice is I do not believe in getting your statements online and all that kind of stuff for ease and all that because it's too easy to not see them. Have it mailed to you. And do check the website if you have any online activity whatsoever regularly. But look at that statement when it comes in. because, again, everybody's agreeing these were unauthorized withdrawals and Chase should have caught it. But they didn't, and they don't have to pay because this woman did not report it in any reasonable time frame. And so, and it's affected her. She's had to take her son out of private school, and she's obviously she's completely disheveled from the standpoint of she made an entire career helping victims of fraud and crimes, and here she becomes a victim. Yeah, it's too easy to ignore the statements. Don't. And like I say, if your only access is online, if you're doing that, you know, paperless garbage, I just don't believe in it. But if you are, make sure that you look for that statement on your own, because yes, it could happen to you. All right. So those are the program nuts, notes, or maybe nuts. I don't know. And we will move right on. We will open it up with a delightful Ed in Cleveland. Ed, how's it going tonight?
Hey, Riley, it's rocking Ed here.
All right, Ed.
Yeah, you know, Tim Tillson's friend. I think
yes.
You probably figured that one out.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyways, you know, I was listening last night to Steve Probst, which was very interesting. I actually listened today because I had to work this morning, so I, you know, I'm an hour ahead, so I usually have to kind of turn in. But anyways, I was talking about one of the labels that he'd forgotten the name of. Well, it was Spar Records,
yeah,
but
right.
The official name of the label was HIT.
Well, yes, HIT, and this is out of Nashville. It's not the only one, but yes, HIT was around from like 62 to 68. It was not exactly Spar, but it was there, and it did come out of Nashville. You're right about
mm-hmm.
that. But
and I think the people that were involved with that, if I'm not mistaken, were one of them had formerly been with Republic Records in the 50s. Remember that label?
Oh, sure.
Of course, Pat Boone did his first two records for that label. Nothing to write home about, obviously.
HIT and Spar were far from the first of this. There were dozens of these labels. And I'll tell you who really started this trend more than anybody else was Synthetic Plastics. This was a Newark, New Jersey company, and they used to manufacture buttons for the garment industry and game parts for the toy industry.
And it was Peter Pan Records.
Well, that's right. After World War II, they founded Peter Pan Records, and they were going to operate it as a kiddie label and things like that. But from that, that's where Promenade came, and Prom, and Pirouette, and Spinorama, and Diplomat.
Oh, yeah.
And, their motto was, fine records need not be expensive. So
right. And I remember my mother had a record by a guy named Johnny Kay.
Yeah.
Okay. And it was Perry Como sounded like,
sure.
The front cover said Como Está, and Como was in big letters to make you think it was Perry Como.
Right, right. And,
okay.
These people got sued routinely for this and that and the other. I mean, yes, fine records need not be expensive, well, especially when you're not paying royalties. So they were sued in 1950 for just not doing that. And what they were arguing was that the records were designed purely for home use, and therefore the reason to pay was not required. Well, of course, they threw them out of court. To say the least. So you have a number of that, and of course a lot of legitimate artists recorded for these labels, and so
Lou Reed I think was recording for Design Records, which was part of Pickwick.
Right.
Okay.
Right, and of course,
and
Pickwick is its own soap opera, obviously. So
because you know what happened. What these record companies would do, is when an artist, like, for instance, I'll give you a point of example, Johnny Rivers. Okay, Johnny Rivers, explodes with Memphis in 1964, but he'd been recording since 1957. And so a lot of records that he had done for these labels, gone. He was on
MGM.
Right,
they can buy the masters. Sure.
Buy the masters, and they would put them out. Well, in 1967... Pickwick put out a Simon and Garfunkel album, which was all masters from Sid Prosen's big record, Hey Schoolgirl, their 1957 hit. And they sued Pickwick, and Pickwick had to withdraw the album.
Now, that's
interesting. It shows a current picture, 1967, of Simon and Garfunkel, and it says the new sound of Simon and Garfunkel, or something to that effect. And it was the 10-year-old Sid Prosen masters.
Right.
And every single record, And what they would do is, like, any artist, like Roy Orbison, for instance, they leased the Sun recordings and then overdubbed them with other instruments, including the ones that Sun had overdubbed in 61. And then there were some really, really bad records by Neil Sedaka and Johnny Rivers and Tommy Rowe.
And whether or not you will be successful if you try to sue, because you may not be, is going to be the underlying contract period. And Cy Leslie formed Pickwick. And that, too, was a kiddie label originally, Cricket. And design. And then the Heiliger Brothers, you know, merged Musicland into Pickwick in the 60s.
Right. And the Heiliger Brothers was Amos Heiliger.
Soma, of course. Yeah, but they had
Soma Records.
Right. They had a number of labels, yeah, right? No, the Heiliger Brothers were a great one-stop as far as that goes. So, you know, one of two. The other one was Sam Marmaduke's company in Amarillo, and together they were probably responsible for more sales than anybody else. But actually, Capitol had an interest in Pickwick, and that was how the Beach Boys, like you mentioned, and Nat King Cole and Frank Sinatra wound up on Pickwick. But by 1970, Capitol got out of the deal.
Pickwick was issuing material from Mercury, and they had MCA, they were actually took over Camden and were putting out those cheap Elvis, albums. Yeah. And, for the most part, getting back to the Sound-alike albums and the budget things, you know, like Tops in the 50s,
right.
and
60s.
For a while, Tops was sourcing their country material from Starday.
Okay.
If you've ever seen a Tops 45 with blue suede shoes,
I'm real aware of this. You're not telling me anything I don't know. So
okay.
Very,
yeah.
Very well aware of the Sound-alike thing. Tops was Carl Dorsche, and he was using session players in L.A. And originally it was like the Frankie Lanes or Pat Boones or Hank Williams of the world is what they were doing. But it was started before Pickwick, that's for sure, because Dorsche and he had a partner, Sam. Well, I cannot think of his last name, but two guys found it in the 40s. So this was an industry, and of course, when we say that they founded it in 47, as you know, that's 2 years before the 45 RPM debuted. So they were were doing it on shellac originally. And of course, when 45s came out, it was very easy to claim you were, giving six records instead of two for, the just 29 cents or what have you. So,
making 78 EPs. Okay. Cause Dixie and Starday was doing it and they would put out, stuff, and a lot of it, some of them are collectible today because of what's on there. But, for the most part, they could. They were basically advertised. Jimmy Skinner down in Cincinnati was putting out stuff, bluegrass records on things, and it was the same thing as the Ernie Young things, the mail order stuff.
Well aware. Why is this interesting you?
Getting back to what Steve was talking about last night was the fact that sometimes Hit Records was using Nashville musicians.
Of course,
a lot of times they were moonlighting.
They were also using they were not only using musicians and from LA as well, but they were also using hit artists who had hits long before that suddenly were doing these records for them. So of course it was both ways. You had up and comers that were hoping that would do it, and you had the people who were down on their luck who would do it. It was a little industry. And
being a record collector and a record dealer like I do, sometimes I find these things, and people tend to take interest in something because of something that they think was valuable to them or whatever. And it's weird, I get records all the time that I sell on my eBay site, and I found one yesterday. It was a Filipino rock and roll band. His name was Rick Ariello, and it was on this Dino label out of the Philippines, and it was never documented on either Discogs or 45 cat, but it's an excellent version of Little Richard's Too Fine Mama, and it's kind of like a surf R&B sound.
Okay. You will find that stuff in the best bootlegs, which actually were the records that were on the Billboard Hot 100, is if you had a friend who had parents in the military or whatever, they used to take the Billboard Top 10 and put them on a disc every week, vinyl, and sell them for a dime a piece at the military stores. The only deal was you weren't supposed to bring them back home. Well, of course, people did.
There was also the bootlegs that were made, I think, either in Hong Kong or somewhere.
That's exactly what it was. It was boots, and you got 10 for a dime, of course. And Tops and Mayfair, pretty well-known story, actually. But now, you're right, there are collectors who are into this for whatever macabre reason. But Tops, of course, was, basically around along with Mayfair, but Hit was fairly limited a group of releases. It wasn't a ton of records, but yeah, there are people who collect.
Now, there was one thing that set them apart from other 45s of the 60s, though. They were compatible. It says on the label, they actually were in stereo. Some of these were in stereo.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. The reality is that's nice, and for maybe some audiophile. But for the kid who's sitting at home with his record player in 1962 and he sees he has two needles, and one is diamond and one is sapphire, and why not use the other one when one breaks, et cetera, and so forth. Quality was not top of mind for the people who were buying these.
Oh, yeah. For some macabre reason, that's why when he was talking about that last night, I thought, in the history of record collecting, there were people that sought these records out simply because they, thought that there might be something in there that might be of some value. And everybody's always looking for something that they think is going to be,
And so it is, whether it's records or depression, where everybody's collecting something.
Right.
Yeah.
And, it's out there, I really enjoyed his talk last night, and he really.
It's always fun to really talk to Steve.
Yeah, and he's really well informed, unlike another famous person who wrote books, and I won't say his name, Mr. Music. if you know who I'm talking about.
I think I do, since you're in Cleveland, but let me tell you something about that. When Rock On came out in the 70s, it was a godsend. It doesn't matter that it wasn't all perfectly right and all that kind of stuff, but at the time, there was nothing else like it. And I'll tell you, when that thing came out literally in 77, everybody I knew had copies. And so it's moved a long way from them, but you can thank him for a lot of people getting interested in doing these books.
Yeah. And, of course, nowadays, everybody and his brother does one, and you go on these websites, and everybody's,
Well, there's some great, there are great sites. My favorite site, actually, is a guy, he's never done books, to my knowledge, but he's got the best repository online, and that's Unca Marvy. And
I know, he does the groups.
Right. We're going to have him on one night, and we had a power failure, and then the next time there was a preemption, and after that he said, two strikes and you're out, and he never came on. Marv Goldberg, he's living in Florida now. It's been about 5 years. I might try him again. I had him on the air years ago in Denver, but my God, that's got to be 40 years ago. But yeah, he was a technical writer who wrote some of the best stuff about especially 50s groups, and it's still online, and I pray to God it always will be.
Yeah. And especially, you were talking last night about, the Relic series and all the different
had to get all of those. Yes, the golden era of doo-wops. And, how many people remember half of these labels? Some of them, of course, like Fury or something, everybody knows, or Parrot. But some of them, how many people can name a group on Mohawk? That's one of the reasons it's fun.
You know what I think? I was thinking about doing.
Hey, I gotta go. You can't think, because I got the news. Call me again sometime.
You make me choose I got a laugh, I got a cry. I've got to live and oh, I've got to die. The best girl in the world, but make her understand that I'm only a man. Human. When I make the tears fall from her eyes, forgive me, I apologize.
Radio. Luther Dixon wrote it in 1961 on Scepter. Tommy Hunt, his signature record more than anything else, but just a fraction of all he did, and sadly he died last night. And 91 years old, and so I don't know why, but at 91 that might be a hint. You probably know, because I've heard a lot about this in the last 12 hours, that the obit's been going around of, oh, well, he was in the Flamingos. Absolutely true. But several of them said he was lead singer by Only Have Eyes for You. Absolutely false. That was Nate Nelson, and who is also no longer with us. I think he died in 84. But Tommy Hunt had a lot of wonderful things, including Your Other Love, that the Flamingos did. So we'll play that next, because you should hear some of that work as well. Started out life in Pittsburgh and got into trouble as a kid. I think he was in reform school in grade school. And when he got out, his parents, his mother, moved him to Chicago with her, obviously. And he grew up and joined the Air Force and wound up in jail. Why? Because he was a deserter. But why was he a deserter? He went AWOL in order to be with his mother as she died. And very sad story. And so, after prison time, he went back to Chicago, and he was in the Five Echoes. And in fact, that's the group he was singing in a nightclub when he was approached by Zeke Carey of the Flamingos, because Carey had been drafted. And so Hunt was kept on after Carey returned and was there until about 61. And that's why I was going to play Your Other Love, one of the last things he did and did do lead. There were issues. And so within 3 days of announcing that he was leaving the Flamingos, that's when Luther Dixon called him and said, yeah, I got some possibilities for you. And of course, Luther, very well connected in his job with Scepter, so you knew that Florence Greenberg was going to be willing to release whatever it was. And they released Parade of Broken Hearts, and you're saying, I've never heard of it. It's just as well it was the flip side. And you can thank Jocko Henderson for this. Jocko flipped it, and the flip side was Human. And, of course, that was his absolutely biggest hit. A year later, he had a Backrack and David record that was produced by Lieber and Stoller. Yeah, I just don't know what to do with myself, which actually became a hit for Dusty Springfield. And Hunt was at the Apollo all the time, alongside contemporaries like Jackie Wilson or Marvin Gaye and all that. But after... As the 60s were coming to a close, and we know what the mid to latter 60s did to a lot of these performers, he was winding up Tommy Hunt doing shows in Germany and Belgium and the UK, ding, 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 where, of course, you get to the early 70s, and now you're the rise of Northern Soul. And he was performing on the second anniversary of Wigan Casino, and these were big places in the UK, and they were all-nighters. They would do these things on the weekend where they would play these wonderful obscure R&B records, and interesting, almost all of them had a frenetic beat to them, and I, the fool, have no idea what's going on, and the cops were always wanting to close them down. I couldn't understand, because after all, what's wrong with this great music? And 4 in the morning sounds good to me. Well, of course, Ultimately, it came out that they were amphetamine dens. And so the Northern Soul era went away after a while. And but for a good decade there, it was just the, you know, the bee's knees, as they say. Well, when Northern Soul declined, so did the interest in Tommy Hunt. So he hit the cabaret circuit and he moved to Amsterdam. And then, in fact, nobody knew who he was. Finally, in the mid-latter 90s, he started to get some notice, and the Rhythm and Blues Foundation gave him a Lifetime Achievement Award for being in the Flamingos. And nonetheless, he was starting to see some good stuff, and ultimately the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But he moved back to the UK, somewhat of a revived Northern Soul scene, this time for the music. And made it until yesterday, yeah, and 91 years old. So that's the deal. So rest in peace, Tommy Hunt. It was a life well lived. And you're saying, well, who is left now in the Flamingos? Because he was one of two, and the other one's Buzzy. Terry Buzzy Johnson is still alive, and I don't know that he's performing, but he certainly, as of 10 years ago, was. And, you know, he was appearing on television as about 5 years ago, so I don't know. And he was born in Baltimore in 38, so I think Buzzy's still with us. But now Tommy isn't, and rest in peace, Tommy Hunt. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And we have, let's see, well, actually, we have Eduardo, and we have Ruth, and we have Jeff. But this time, I'm not going to blow the news or the break, so I'm going to say we'll be back in moments with Your Other Love. Yes, Tommy Hunt for the Flamingos, coming up on WGN Radio.
Your other love may be handsome, and when he smiles, he's got a twinkle in his eye. Your other love may be bolder, and when he holds you in his arms, you wanna die. He says he loved you from the very start, but your other love, but your other love is gonna someday break your heart. Your other love says he needs you just like a flower needs the burning summer sun. Your other love says he wants you. Oh, how he swears to you that you're the only one. He claims his future just depends on you. But your other love, but your other love is gonna someday prove untrue. Unfaithful when you're not there, another girl is in his arms. Your other love is a lover, and he'll make love to any girl who'll dig his charms. My love is true love, not for just a day, but your other love, but your other love is gonna someday fly away. Unfaithful when you're not there, another girl is in his arms. Your other love is a lover, and he'll make love to any girl who dig his charms. My love is true love, not for just a day, but your other love, but your other love.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. So who, you know, I don't say who is that, that's the Flamingos, and that is in fact Tommy Hunt on lead. Yeah, so not a well-known record, so it didn't appear in any of the obits, but it was a fine job. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. Now that's going to take us to Jeff in Beloit. Welcome back to WGN Radio, Jeff.
How you doing, Raleigh?
All right, how about yourself?
Doing good. Hey, a couple of things sounded fishy about that bank story. The gal had $80,000?
$87,000,
mm-hmm.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, a couple of things about that. If she went through the painstaking process of saying that, hey, I'm not going to withdraw that any money unless I'm there. They should have an original agreement on that. And it sounds fishy that they have anybody else would know that she had $87,000. If she was that secretive to do that, how did anybody find out to impersonate her that she had $87,000?
By the way, let me interrupt and say it's a very interesting question. Now, she filed a police report and has filed filed several fraud claims with Chase. But what she's discovered is that this is happening to several other customers at the branch who reported unauthorized withdrawals, a scenario similar to hers. And so there's a little question about what might be happening inside this particular branch, because a dozen customers have been scammed while using the ATM who have complained. And so, I agree with you that you would think that she would keep up with her statements, but that really is the only fault she had. And by the way, if you think you've got a deal where you only have to come into the branch, and by the way, all of the withdrawals, they did come into the branch. They just weren't her.
You know, it just sounds fishy, and it's good that you covered that other people had the same problem. It's kind of funny that problem's only at that bank. So there's definitely an insider there.
Well, and it may not only be at that bank. We don't know. You see, that's the thing. Some people don't even report, let alone make it public. But in her case, like I say, it didn't surprise me that she didn't catch it, because if she knew that she had an agreement that she had to come in to withdraw money or whatever, she probably just figured, well, I haven't been there in a while. I'm ignoring my statements. Who cares? Well, the reason I brought it up was you should care. Everybody should care and read them every month.
Yeah, I have a personal story about that. I'll make it brief right after this. But the other thing, too, I think the key to this is the woman that is the impersonator is to they have to have it on film.
Yes and no. And by the way, it's more than one person.
Right. But if you catch one person and you're going to tag them with 40 counts of theft and so forth, they're going to come clean before they have to do 5-10 years. You know, they're going to say that, you know, somebody else put me up to this, or here's the bank employee that, you know, tipped me off.
Well, obviously, the investigation is continuing. Now, I bring it up that Chase has closed the books in terms of their responsibility. They say, nope, she didn't report it. We're not liable. But they also said, we are cooperating with any investigation, as we always will. But we remind all customers it's important to review the monthly statement. And that's true. So I don't think this is the end of it. It's the end of it in terms of Chase taking any responsibility. But I assume that police will still investigate and try to find out who this is.
Well, she needs to take legal action. I mean, if she deposited that kind of money and it's a bank, and
there is no legal action. Nope. This is open and shut. Truly. You don't have the same protections you do with credit cards, strangely enough. That's why I'm always against debit cards or anything like that. But the reality is, when your agreement says we are only liable if you report within 30 days of your statement, that means it.
Yeah.
And so so there's very little wiggle room is what I'm saying legally.
Okay, so I have a bank account, and I was unemployed, and I kept $10 in it.
Uh-huh.
It's a free checking account,
uh-huh.
$10 in it. So I go in, and I get a job, and I was going to deposit a $700 check, and not deposit it, but cash it. So they give me back like $340, and I'm like, wait a minute, you know, $700. Oh, well, you have all these overdraft fees. And I go, well, I didn't. I had $10 in it, and I didn't, you know, withdraw any money. So she backs and looks at it. She goes, oh, well, the service fee. And now, mind you, I have free checking and no monthly service fee.
But there might have been a service fee if you fell below a minimum, a stated minimum.
I agree, but there wasn't. There wasn't a minimum. Okay.
So if you know that and you have the paperwork, you should have prevailed.
Well, I'll tell you what I had to do. She said, no, we can't do anything about it. She goes, you had free checking, but we had you switch to Freebird checking or something like this. I don't know what it was, some name. And she goes, well, there's a monthly service fee. And I said, I didn't switch that. And she goes, well, everybody's switching. And I said, I'm not everybody. You know, the bank is just trying to get the money, some $300. And at the time, I sure didn't have it and didn't want to spend it. So I collected my thoughts and I said, well, I want to talk to a manager. Well, she's busy now, of course. So I called her and I told her the story. And I said, I want what this is what I want. Clearly,
right.
I want the $10 in the account and I don't want to pay the $300.
Right.
She goes, we can't do that. She had, you know, just like this mm-hmm. gal with a right. disclaimer after
right.
30 days.
So what happened?
So, all right. So what I did is I said, listen, my original agreement, I said, and you have to provide me with the paperwork for that, or I'll have the copy. And she goes, I said, if you provide that, it says free checking, no service charge.
Mm-hmm.
So she handed on, and I go, all right. So I had to get a little strong about it. And I said, you know, I sued Menards successfully myself by taking it in civil court. And I said, I know how to do this. And I said, so you're dirty, and it's going to cost you $1,000 for a lawyer. And for a good lawyer, because you're dirty, it's going to be $2,000-$3,000. And then I might win and ask for damages. And I said, on top of that, I'm going to go out in front of your bank with a big sign saying that you embezzled money. And I know a lot of people in town. She goes, well, I can't do anything right now. I'll call you back as soon as I get some information. She called me, you know, because she had to talk to the bank president. She called me back in 10 minutes and my $10 was in the account.
Right. They were willing to do that without any question rather than the aggravation. By the way, I like all of what you said, but be very careful when you say something like, I'll have a sign with embezzling, because technically it wasn't embezzling and they could come after you. You want to do this in such a way anytime you're doing it that you're clean, and you might not have been if you did that.
Well, you know, embezzling is a hard term.
Well, yes, but
I should have said they took my money. But yeah. I'd have done something like that, yeah. and they folded.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, well, it was obviously they thought about it and it was worth it to them. But this is another reason why when you open a bank account, they give you all those sheets of paper that you don't know what to do with. File them somewhere. Never throw them away. And no, what would have happened if you had brought this to court is you would have been able to prove that you never signed anything transferring the account to another vehicle. And that's where you would have prevailed.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. But people need to understand they have to protect themselves in advance and read those statements.
Right.
Now, did you continue to get statements? I mean, if they're pulling whatever the minimum fee because you don't have enough money in there of you know, $5.50 a month, did you get statements reflecting that?
Well, there wasn't any monthly charge. It was just totally.
No, I know that there wasn't any monthly charge until they did something that put you under another account.
Yeah, they changed everybody's status.
Right, and so were you still getting monthly statements?
I don't recall
right.
because
well,
I just solace in the fact that I had $10 in
yeah.
there. Yeah,
all right,
remote, you know,
fine.
So.
But what I'm saying is that. And it's good that this happened to you because this is an object lesson. Yeah, you don't think there's any reason to find out if you have statements. I only got 10 bucks. I'm not doing anything. But again, the rules of the game are that if you do not respond within 30 days of that statement running, they are not liable. And ultimately, you could wind up liable for all sorts of things. In this case, the bank was wrong. They made good on it. But please, in the future, I don't care who it is or what it is, look at those statements.
Another thing that's getting me, too, is I use an ATM card.
Well,
and
I wouldn't,
you go
but okay.
I got that. Well, I go and I pull out 20, 40 bucks, whatever, and they say on the screen that it's going to cost you $2.95 service fee. All right, so that's fine. It's going to cost you, for 20 bucks, $22.95. You need the cash late at night or whatever. All right.
Well, let me pause and say, usually in that situation, that $2.95 is not from your bank. It's from the owner of the ATM.
Correct. And that's the problem. When it hits the bank will, and not immediately, and it doesn't reflect the total amount on that ATM, but the bank can charge as much as another $5.
Well, depending. And again, the ATM rules are all written out. It'll make your eyeballs, you know, roll around in your head, but they're there. And it behooves you to understand how the game is played.
Yeah, the biggest game is played by the bank, though, and that foreign, they call it a foreign ATM.
I understand that, but they tell you that they do this. This is not a state secret. You see,
but
that's what I'm saying.
Part,
if you
yeah.
read it, you will know it's there. And see, that's where your or anybody's responsibility as the depositor, your responsibility is to know the terms they're operating under. And if you don't like them, go to another bank.
Knowledge is everything.
Absolutely. So the idea that they're, you know, if they've stated they're doing it, they're in the right.
Okay.
You know, that's the bottom line to this.
Hats off to your decision to not call if you're drunk. I like that.
Yeah, I'm afraid we have to do that. I didn't mean to. And, you know, I'm now getting to where I just delete certain email and there's some that just automatically go to junk. But, don't bother the rest of us if you're drinking. And I'm not against drinking. You want to drink, go ahead and drink. Just don't call.
I couldn't agree more.
All right, thanks.
Do we have time to talk about another scam that was in Rockford, or should I call another night?
Well, if you want to hang on till after the news, we do.
All right, that's fine.
Don't go away. And a Rockford scam, how about that? All right. So yes, we've got a number of people coming up next hour, and hopefully you too on WGN Radio.
My love must be a kind of blind love. I can't see anyone but you. Shabam shabam. Dibam shabam. Dibam shabam. Dibam shabam. Dibam shabam. Are the stars out tonight? Dibam shabam. I don't know if it's cloudy or bright. I only am eyes for you, dear. The moon may be high, but I can't see a thing in the sky. I only have eyes for you.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Those, of course, are the Flamingos. I Only Have Eyes for You, 1959 on End. And that was Lauren Willowbrook who wanted to hear it. And yes, that was Nate Nelson doing lead. And it was interesting. By then, there was starting to be some dissension in the group. And as I mentioned, Tommy Hunt left a couple years later over that. Interestingly enough, it was George Goldner who, after seeing what Mercury did with the Platters, you know, Buck Ram and all the pop standards, said, you know, we should do that as well. So when they released I Only Have Eyes for You, which was actually a month after they had released Love Locked In, they put on top of it in April, they came up with an album of standards, and I Only Have Eyes for You was one of them on it. Yeah, Flamingo Serenade was the album, and they were headed in a heavy-duty pop direction, and as I say, a lot of people wondered, but also that was a month that the Flamingos appeared in Go Johnny Go, the Alan Freed movie, and they were doing a frenetic version of Jump Children. And so that was interesting as far as that goes. There you have it. And rest in peace, of course, Tommy Hunt. And, of course, Nate Nelson about 40 years ago now. All right. So we're talking to Jeff and Beloit, who said, but wait, I have more. All right. Go for it.
Okay. What it was is I was reading the Chicago Trib, and they had a scam that was reported in Chicago Trib. So I read it. You know, I worked on cars for years, worked for a Firestone dealership, and at any rate, the scam was that you take your car into a car dealership, and you're getting a service checkup, or, you know, maybe it's smoking, or some problem. Mm-hmm. You take it in there, and the salesman comes in and gives you this pitch. Oh, hey, your oil cap fell off. Now, everything you have in there is sealed up. Your Freon, your radiator, it's got a cap on it. Your windshield wiper fluid's got a cap on it. Your transmission's got a plug in it. But what they say, the scam is, that the cap fell off and spilled oil all over your engine and contaminated all your fluids. And now, there may not be even a drop of oil anywhere on there, but this is the pitch. You know, if you went out there and say, I want my car back, you say, well, let me at least wash off, the pressure wash it for you, get those fluids out. I mean, because then you couldn't tell. But the scam is that they're going to change all the fluids in your car.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and it's going to run you right around $800.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't do anything. All right, so I need a key for my Honda, and I go down to the Honda shop. And they make sure that I have the title for it and everything, and they're going to give me the key. Well, there's a gal there, and the guy comes in, and there's a gal sitting there in that waiting room. And the guy gives her the pitch, verbatim, word for word, what I read in the Chicago Tribune. And she goes, well, I don't know. She goes, I'm thinking about trading it in. It's a couple years old. I mean, she had a brand new Honda here, 2 years old. To me, that would get brand new. And she goes, I don't know. I'm thinking about maybe trading it in. So the guy takes off and he goes, well, I'm going to go see what I can give you for your car on a trade-in.
Oh, geez.
All right. So I'm thinking probably 15 grand. It's a beautiful Honda, right? He comes in, I think he quotes her, well, because of the condition that it's in, maybe 5,600. All right. So when the salesman leaves to do that, to see how much money that she's going to get for her. All right, I tell her, I said, I read this in Chicago Tribune. And I said, verbatim, this is what the scam is. The guy just spilled it off. And she looked at me like I was Satan himself.
I love it.
You know, and then the salesman, and he's looking at me over his corner of his eye because, you know, like, maybe I'm going to choke or try to kill him or something. You know, don't pick on that woman like that. And, you know, she's like, she's ready to make the deal to go pick out a new Honda. And I just looked at the salesman. I said, you got the right guppy there. You know, I tried to explain it to her, and she's just looking at me like I'm evil.
Yeah, well, then she deserves exactly what she got as far as that goes. And I can't imagine in this day and age anybody thinks that they're going to sell or trade in a car without independently, because it's so easy online getting some ideas of what value might be. But the other thing is, when anybody tells you there's oil spilled all over your engine, the first thing you should say is, huh, it's not smoking at all. Isn't that interesting?
Well, you know, if that happened, they should pressure wash it because you don't want.
But I mean, you'd be smoking like, you know, all get out from that. This wouldn't be something that would be hidden from you.
Or the radiator, you'd see steam coming out. Yeah.
Well, all of that. I mean, you know, so if you're that stupid, then I guess maybe that's just the surcharge for being alive and dumb.
You know, I was going to close my statement with that. You know. I go down to Gene's. He's got the only self-service gas station here, or not self-service, the full service.
Yes.
He comes out and puts gas in your car.
Yeah.
But he's got this wrench. It's shaped in a wrench, and it's a sign. And it says, you can't fix stupid.
Yes, it's exactly right. All right, good to talk to you. Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you, Raleigh.
All right, 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. And I am glad that Laura from Willowbrook is calling, because I'll tell her firsthand. Laura, that concert is still on.
Yes, I heard about that. I'm so glad that you let me know.
Yeah.
So, excuse me. I'm hoping that I can get the nosebleed seats, because I don't really care if I'm close, because you can hear from anywhere, and they usually have a big screen.
Well, tickets are on sale right now, so you can do that.
Okay, I wanted to thank you about that, and thank you for playing my song.
Oh, sure, and we've got the Candyman on tap, too. Hopefully we'll get to it tonight.
Okay, and I don't know if you had heard this story. I don't remember the toy, but somebody in Illinois was doing their drywall or something. I guess somebody had hidden some toys for Christmas present like 40, 50 years ago.
Oh, man, so they found it. What was it worth?
Yeah. Oh, it was like, I want to say, it was like a couple of helicopters in a box, not even open. And I think it was like $1,500. So, like, holy cow.
Good. Well, that's a wonderful find.
Yes. And thanks again, Raleigh. Appreciate it.
Sure thing. Thanks for calling. All right.
All right. Bye.
Yeah. Now you wonder, what parents forget that they got the kid the helicopter? You know, Christmas is coming. Were they all wiped out before the holiday? Yeah, I would think normally in most families that they would know exactly where they hid the presents. Yeah, and what did they do instead? Oh, there's a story there. Wouldn't you love to hear it? 888-876-5593. We bid a farewell to Laura, and we welcome Eduardo in Tampa. What's going on, Eduardo?
Hey, Raleigh. Well, it's Thursday. It's coming up to the weekend. I'm going to be in your state over there. I'm going to the Peter Greenberg Travel Expo.
Oh, yeah?
In downtown Phoenix. Yeah, so they go to different cities. They were in Chicago last weekend.
Uh-huh.
They go to D.C., L.A., New York, Georgia, Dallas. I went to the one in Dallas last year.
So this is the annual travel show at the Phoenix Convention Center. How about that?
Yep.
Well.
Yep. So yeah. I'll be there, Saturday and Sunday is when they have it.
Oh, yeah. No, Saturday
and
Sunday.
I'm going to be going in to Phoenix tomorrow.
Oh, yeah? All right. Well, I'll tell you, I'm going to put you on hold, and I want John to get your cell number, because if we happen to be near downtown, we'll call you.
Oh, okay, sure. That'd be nice.
You know,
sure.
So,
okay.
I don't know that we're up for going to a travel expo, but although John did tell me for his next birthday he wants a cruise to Hawaii, so I don't know. Maybe that's the place to look. All right.
Oh, okay.
So that'll be fun. Hang on. Don't go away.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. Yeah.
All right. So how about that? So Eduardo comes to Phoenix. So I don't know that we will, but if we are anywhere. Oh, heck, I just hung up on Eduardo. Eduardo, call me back and talk to John. I'm so sorry. You know, it's like Pavlov's dogs. I'm conditioned. The former program where hold is was where drop is now. So I keep putting people on hold, except I'm dropping them. All right, so with that in mind, we'll get to David and Muskegon coming up in moments. We have Ruth in Gurnee, James on the South Side, and hopefully you on WGN Radio.
Se você disser que eu desafino amor, saiba que isto em mim provoca imensa dor. Só privilegiados têm ouvido igual ao seu. Eu possuo apenas o que Deus me deu. Se você insiste em classificar meu comportamento diante musical, eu mesmo mentindo devo argumentar que isto é bossa nova, que isto é muito natural. O que você não sabe nem sequer pressente é que os desafinados também têm coração. Fotografei você na minha Rolleiflex. Revelou-se a sua enorme ingratidão. Só não poderá falar assim do meu amor. Ele é o maior que você pode encontrar, viu? Você com a sua música esqueceu o principal, que no peito dos desafinados, no fundo do peito bate calado. No peito dos desafinados também bate um coração.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that's Desafinado. That's the Antonio Carlos Jobim and Joao Gilberto version, and I have no idea what label, because I only have it on on an 8-track tape and a cassette, and but Jack and St. Charles wanted to hear it, and a lot of versions of that, including the Herbie Mann and all that, but I thought, I liked that one, wherever I got it. So there you have it. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh, and David is in Muskegon. What's up, David?
Hey, not. Oh, I've been pretty busy.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I was wondering. I was listening to the station. I forgot the callers to AM 990, where this gentleman had passed away. He'd worked there.
Yeah,
for
years. Yeah. That's WGSO now, and it you know, it used to be. I loved it when it was WYAT, but it came to life as WJMR. It's the only station I know where an FM owner needed an AM counterpart, so he put the FM on a year before the AM, and that was in the 40s. But anyway, what happened years ago is that WGSO 1280 went to 990, and that's what you heard WGSO. And we were talking about him last night, and you're talking about Mr. Food, and he was sadly had Alzheimer's for quite some time, but recently died, and that's the deal. His wife, his widow, still has a travel show on GSO, not travel food. I'm sorry, a food show, and so yeah, that was Tom Fitzmaurice.
Yes, Tom Fitzmaurice was the gentleman in question, because she was on today talking about Tom Fitzmaurice. See, she came in as a consultant for a couple of weeks, and they fired her because they told her she wasn't to get, you know, personal with anybody who worked there. And, of course, they started dating each other and eventually got married.
Well, actually, she wasn't a consultant. She was program director for WGSO. And, yes, she did lure him over, and yes, they did get married. That's true.
And, yeah, because she was a PD. But I guess she was a consultant. That's what she was saying
okay.
today.
Well, she would know more than I would. Marianne Connell was her name.
Yes, Marianne Connell,
yeah.
Yes, was her name. And now she does a travel show and,
yep.
I guess, a food show
yeah,
on
food
WGSO.
Show. Right, absolutely.
And because so, I was listening to that today, WGSO, and I was listening to a little bit of their programming to see what type of programming they have on the station itself.
Well, it's your basic AM talk station, you know, Mark Levin and everybody else. You know, it is what it is. Church.
It's basically that type of talk. It's,
yeah. My so church does mornings, and, you know, I don't know if Mike is local or not. He used to be at WBT years ago. But anyway, I think. But so, yeah, it's basic AM talk, and she's got a weekend show there. It's true.
Okay, because they was really blasting because the big powerhouse station out of New Orleans.
Well, WWL, of course.
They didn't even, for 24 hours, Marianne was saying, even acknowledge. Mr. Morris's death.
Well, WWL TV did, by the way. They had a whole thing on him. So might have been that radio, WWL radio, I don't know, 870 didn't. But, you know, certainly they made up for it because they did they. And so and he had been on WWL for a while. So sure. It was they both retired in 2022, and I think that the reason they both retired is probably, I don't know this for a fact, but that's probably when he was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. But anyhow, she came back, and she's as you know, you were listening, so you know more than I do. She's back on the air.
Yeah, she's back on because she was on today. I can't remember the gentleman's name. Is after this gentleman, he has a southern accent. I can't remember his name now. And they were talking about subsidized housing. There was so anti-subsidized housing, and I was sitting there listening to it, and I was like, "What you don't realize is, with especially with blind people, 80% of them are unemployed and are living in subsidized housing."
Oh, of course, and it's you know, sadly, those issues are never black and white, but I understand where you get a lot of people from New Orleans who are having an issue, because if you go back 50 years ago, New Orleans had the highest percentage of black home ownership in America and a vibrant black middle class, and now you go through some of these wards and you're like, what the hell happened? And it wasn't just Katrina. So there's a number of lifers in New Orleans who might might come up with saying things like that. But it's never a simple answer, and I would hope that no one in their right mind would would take away from blind people needing subsidized housing, because obviously we've talked a lot about this. It's a terrible thing that more blind people are unemployed, not by choice, but because idiot sighted people think they can't do the job.
Oh, yeah, and they don't want to spend the money, like, for special equipment so that a totally blind person can work.
Well, but, I know. By the way, you know, John was just telling me, you know we're not on the air. The news is on, so you and I are just talking right now.
Didn't know that.
you blew through the news. So, anyway, my fault. But hang on, and we'll get back to it.
Yeah, I enjoy listening to you, because, see, I'm a busy person most of the time. I keep myself really busy.
All right, okay? Well, give me a few minutes, and we'll be back after the news. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and yes, by request, Buster Brown and Fannie Mae. And now I have to find who requested it, but I played it for a reason, I know. Oh, all right. Billy Bob and Bourbonnais. All right, that's who wanted it. That's who wanted it. All right, so I also was looking around trying to find, where did I get that Desafinado? And 1959, actually, with Antonio Carlos Jobim and João Gilberto. And so, you know, you got a lot of things in America, like Stan Getz and Charlie Bird and all that, but that was actually in Brazil in 59. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888, Raleigh. And yes, we rudely interrupted David in Muskegon, who is back. All right, so any closing questions?
Yes, I had a question. You know, radio stations, if they don't stream their music, what do they use for music if they don't stream it?
Well, wait. You know, in terms of streaming it, when you say stream, you mean creating an online stream? That has nothing to do with the automation that is scheduling and airing the music for the station. You don't have to be online to do that.
Okay. And now, is there an extra charge if you're not online streaming?
Well, no. If you're not streaming online, then the only thing you are responsible for is the performing rights societies. In other words, ASCAP, BMI, CSAC, and now, unfortunately, GMR. And they, you're paying them, and they're paying the publisher, and then theoretically the writer through that. Those are in granite. You have to pay that if you're broadcasting this music. Period. And woe be you if you don't have a license from all of these. disease, as many people have found out when they thought they didn't need a CSAC license, and then, gee, they were carrying network news and there was something CSAC in it, and next thing you know, they got sued. So yeah, you really gotta have licenses with that. But that has nothing to do with streaming. Streaming online is covered by SoundExchange. Now, by the way, the performing rights societies do have control over streaming as well for that fee, but if you're talking about just simulcasting your radio signal, there's rarely, if ever, an extra charge for doing it. Now, if you're putting things online that are interactive or in any way downloadable or all that, that's a whole different ballgame. But usually, you don't have any issue with that with the performing rights societies. Now, online, it is Sound Exchange's ballgame. And Sound Exchange is an entity that was created through Congress. And this is all through copyright laws, federal copyright laws. And they theoretically pay the record label and the performer. I say theoretically because, hey, on my AM, you try to find some of those record labels. Good luck. But be that as it may, that's the way that works. And there's different rates for everybody. But, you know, if you're a broadcaster, it's going to be $1,000 minimum per channel. Mm-hmm. Annually.
So it's $1,000 per channel, annually. And you have to pay Sound Exchange, and that's for a whole year, correct?
Well, no. You see, you also have to report. And if you have more than a certain amount of listeners, you're going to pay on top of that. That's your minimum. That's just your entry to playing the game. Now you're going to report every month how many people heard each one of those songs, you know, how many people were listening. And so that can create other fees as well. And there are carve-outs. Public broadcasting pays differently or things like that. But every so many years, I don't know if it's every 5 years or whatever, Congress revamps what the Sound Exchange rules are. And unfortunately, all the big people have a lot of lobbyists and all that. Well, the little hobbyist who really just wants to play accordion favorites or something, he don't have anybody. So usually he's not represented and he winds up being, you know, royally screwed blue because nobody is realizing that, you know, he's not in it for a money game.
Okay. Now, how do you report what listeners are listening to? How would you...
Well, you don't have to tell what listeners. You have to tell the amount of listeners. Now, I can tell you what listeners, too. I mean, if you want to know, I can tell you each and every person who accesses my stream at any time by their IP address. It's going to register. But I know the number. And if you're... Most people who are going to stream, somebody like yourself who's a hobbyist, you're not going to do it yourself. You're going to go through one of the services because it's going to be very cheap for you. Because a lot of these services that offer streaming capabilities, they're just dirt cheap until you have a lot of listeners. Then suddenly, if you've got a ton of listeners, they become the most expensive game in town. But for the hobbyist who might, you know, have 10 listeners at any given time, you connect with one of the services and they take care of it.
Okay, one of the services,
yeah.
For like Sound Exchange?
No. Sound Exchange is, again, a congressionally mandated entity that collects the royalties. But no, there are streaming services, many of them. You know, I do my own, but you certainly don't have to. You know, you can find out whatever, you know, and right now all of them are eluding me, but there's a lot of them.
Okay, because I was wondering about that, because I use Amazon for, like, my music.
Well, yeah, but I understand that, but that has nothing to do with this. If you wanted to create, say, a podcast and you want to stream stuff, you know, Amazon is not your friend on that.
Okay, they're not?
No, but they're not going to have that service available to you, probably.
Okay. So I'd have to use another service on top of Amazon.
Well, not on top of. It's separate from. They're not really related. So, you know, like I say, I used to know who all of these people were, and I don't anymore. In the 90s, long before anybody knew what streaming was, when everything was, you know, still RTSP, I decided I would learn how to stream. But that's about the last time I thought too much of it. It's very easy now. And, you know, but you can get, you can easily get a deal with one of these people who will pay the rights for you. And of course they'll charge you, but you won't have to worry about the record keeping because their servers will do it.
Oh, okay. They'll charge you like $1,000.
No, they will not charge you anything like that. They're going to charge you based upon how many people you have listening. They're going to key it that way.
Oh, And how will they know that?
Well, they absolutely know. They're going to be the people who are providing the stream.
Okay.
You know, remember, anytime you connect to a stream, whatever stream that is, they know who you are and approximately where you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that's not a secret. That's the way it works. You've got an IP address. Now, it may be dynamic and your ISP may change it from time to time, but you've got an IP address. And when you connect, it's going to show.
Okay. And when you connect, and you have to find... And now, how do you go about finding the streaming services if you want to broadcast your signal?
Well, that's what I'm saying. You know, I'd have to go back and you know, research who is doing this now, because I don't know anymore. If there's anybody listening, they can call and tell me. I know Top Shelf Oldies used to do it themselves, and they went to somebody, and I forget who they went to.
Huh. Okay. I could still use, it's completely separate, but I could still use my music from Amazon, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's not an issue, you know. There's no audit where you got the music, you know, as far as that goes. But obviously, you're going to have to, in some way, to use it, you're going to have to download it in some way and format it however you want to use it. You're not going to be able to just play an Amazon stream.
No, I got my own. See, I've formatted my music stream already.
Okay.
I've got several different
formats. Why do you want to do this?
It's just a hobby. It's something I enjoy.
Uh-huh. All right.
And plus that, guess what? These stations that so-called do classic rock, I know I can do better. And if I get a computer...
Well, by the way, what do you mean? Wait. If you get a computer? No, you have to have a computer. You can't do this without it.
Yeah, I know. When I do decide to get one, see, I can download this all into that computer, what I got now?
Well,
all the different formats I have?
Depending, yeah. I mean, yeah, yes and no. It's a little more complex than this, but like we talked before, and we have talked about this, you're putting the cart so far ahead of the horse that it isn't even worth talking about. First, get yourself a computer, familiarize yourself, be comfortable with that, and then you can look at next steps. Don't do it in advance.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, I'll take your advice and wait until I get the computer. Don't...
Yeah, because right now it's just all conjecture. You don't know what you're going to do, and you have no idea what you're doing. So, you know, for God's sakes, if you're going to be doing this, you're going to have to be computer savvy.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
So go for it. That's your assignment. We can talk about other stuff after you tell me.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
Yes.
Appreciate it. All right, so, and thanks, appreciate it. Why aren't I coming up with names? That's terrible. I used to get solicited all the time. Oh, use us. Well, yeah, I'll do it myself, thank you. All right, so we've got Fran and Austin, and Ruth and Gurney, I haven't forgotten about her. She's probably asleep, though. Oh, Bonnie and Butternut, you know we're going to go there next because she's back home, and that is excellent news. But right now, it is time. The time has come for Walter's Perspective, sponsored by HearingHealthCenter.com.
Be on the lookout for Buchanan and Goodman, last seen wearing
black denim trousers and motorcycle boots.
Look out! They're after us!
Let's get out of here!
Are you Buchanan and Goodman?
Yes, we are.
Hello, hello again.
Well, this is a summons. You're under arrest.
This is John Cameron in court.
The trial of Buchanan and Goodman is now in session. Is the district attorney ready?
I'm ready. Ready, ready, I'm ready.
Call the first witness.
And what is your name?
The other call me Speedo, but my real name is Mr.
What is your complaint against Buchanan and Goodman?
They wouldn't give me a ride in their flying saucer.
Call the next witness.
You so long.
I pass into the jungle.
Your Honor, I object. What have you got to say?
Woo!
The food.
Order the court. Call the next witness.
Aren't you Skinny Dynamo?
Yes, it's me and I'm in.
Buchanan and Goodman, have you anything to say?
You ain't nothing but a hound dog.
Order.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, you may leave the room.
Meanwhile, back in the jury room.
Oh.
turn you now to the courtroom where the judge is saying to the jury,
Hooli papa cow, papa cow, papa cow, cow.
And the jury is saying to the judge,
Hooli papa cow, papa cow, papa cow, cow.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, have you reached a verdict?
Yeah.
We find them not guilty.
WGN Radio, I'm Riley James, and it was Jim in Richmond who wanted Buchanan and Goodman, and that was Buchanan and Goodman on trial. Lisa in Dundee also had requested that, and Buchanan and Goodman on trial was interesting because, of course, when Buchanan and Goodman first did Flying Saucer Part 1 and Part 2, they got sued, and so that was the result with that, and they did a number of, it worked out all right. They formed their own little record label. Originally, it was Universe Records, and if you have one of the original records of Flying Saucer, you'll see that there's a kind of descriptive L in front of it. Well, that's because they had to change the name to Luniverse because they didn't realize there was a universe. So, in fact, they added the L post-production to about 2,000 discs they had already pressed after they discovered Universe existed. And so almost all the things that Luniverse ever did was Buchanan and Goodman, to say the least. Although, true story, they had a Del Vikings record, and they had a Buddy Lucas record. But yeah, a few Del Vikings records, actually, more than a few. But other than that, it was primarily Buchanan and Goodman. Yeah, whether it's Back to Earth or Flying Saucer or the Banana Boat Story or, yeah, there's a lot of them. All right, so 888-876-5593. And Bonnie and Butternut is home. How you feeling, Bonnie?
Oh, hi, Raleigh. Thank you very much for taking me on the phone right away.
Oh, yeah.
Good. Everything is good now.
Yay.
I'm glad that they were able to successfully administer what was needed to be done and that it's all working well. And thank you to you and John and to all the radio listeners and family of you for being so kind.
Oh, absolutely. No, you betcha. Nothing worse than being at night in a hospital alone. So I more than get that. So all things are good, and we'll keep our fingers crossed that you'll never have to do it again.
Well, they say that 90% that you don't, it holds it. You know,
good.
You don't have to have that AFib.
Good.
But in the interim, I guess because they've riled up the heart so that, let's face it, the heart is angry. So now it wants to flutter and do this.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Now your mind is always thinking, is it?
right. Is it happening again? Of course.
Exactly.
Yes.
So you kind of have to be patient and be able to, you know, count the beats per minute and all that kind of stuff and know not to say, oh, let's go. We got to get in the car and run again, you know. Anyway, well, thank you again, and you have a great weekend, and thank you.
You too, and I'm so glad things are going well. Don't buy any trouble. Just enjoy this moment.
Yeah.
Right.
We'll stay warm here. It's
yes.
Like 25 below. So.
Oh. Well, that's no reason to go out then. Just stay home. All right.
No, my children are both here,
okay,
and
good.
So they were out ice fishing already today, and so.
All right. They can come home and tell you about it.
Well, I can watch them out the window.
Oh, perfect.
So
there you are.
Okay.
All right. Well, thanks, Bonnie. Keep in touch.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Appreciate it. All right. So good. Good to hear from Bonnie. And things are looking good. Glad to hear that. Fran and Austin, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh. Well, it's good to hear that Bonnie is home. Oh,
yeah.
God. Nothing feels better than getting home from the hospital.
Oh, God, yes. It's like the worst night in life is the night before the surgery, and the best day is the day after it.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, it was just, hospitals are just like,
yeah,
you know, especially if you're by yourself and, things get confusing and they don't tell you what they're doing or why they're doing it, and they wake you up every 5 minutes.
Right.
And, anyway, so it's good to hear that she's home and feeling, you know, as well as she can be.
Exactly.
But, tomorrow, hopefully my washing machine will be fixed.
Oh,
I'm
good.
Hoping.
Good. You found somebody found somebody to work on it. Good. I will keep my fingers crossed.
Yeah. It needs some kind of new timer device thingy. Okay. It's going to cost me a few $100. And I thought, well, should I just buy a new one?
No.
This one's accessible.
Right. You know I this will... one. This is your old friend.
Yeah.
Yes. No. Just
yeah.
$200 know. Just fine. If that's all it
fine,
takes.
Fine.
That's all it takes. It's a good deal.
As long as they can fix it.
Yeah.
And so anyway, let's see. What was I? Oh, I had a couple of requests.
Okay.
One, a little bit of soap.
Okay, Jarmel's, you betcha.
Yeah, and Watermelon Man.
Okay, which version do you care? Mongo Santa Maria?
The Mongo Santa Maria, the one with the laugh. Yeah. I like that lady's laugh.
Okay, you got it. You got it, and you ended the hour. I'll try to get that on for you next.
Okay, thanks.
All right, thanks. Molly. Appreciate it.
All right,
and we'll pick it up right there. I haven't forgotten about Ruth or James, and I certainly haven't forgotten that I'd love to hear from you on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, Herbie Hancock wrote it, but the definitive version is Mongo Santa Maria Band. And yes, it says that right on the label, Mongo Santa Maria Band. And there are about six guys in it, including Willie Bobo, which is always kind of neat. But if you've been looking for it and couldn't find it, that's because you probably didn't know you had to put Band on there. Now, that was on Battle. And Battle was an interesting little label. It had only been around for about 4 years, Bill Grauer Productions. And the reason they called it Battle was that they produced records by Joe Van Battle. And mostly they did gospel stuff. In fact, Aretha Franklin's father was on Battle, but they also did some, you know, folk and jazz and blues. But the big thing, they recorded automobile sound effects. I don't know why, but of course in 63, that was a huge hit for Mongo San Maria Band. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. And Ruth, if she's still alive and awake, is in Gurnee. All right, Ruth, are you there?
I'm here, Raleigh.
Well, you waited so long. The fortune cookie story is all yours. Go for it.
Okay. What do I hear? What do I know? I know that maybe it doesn't look like it's going to snow. Have a holly jolly blessed St. Valentine's Day. So the fortune cookie story, hear what, where, and when, right out of Medjool School of Journalism. It started with usually a few bundles going out previously, years before, but it started to snowball. So at now, as we speak, over 1,500 to near 2,000 fortune cookies have been sent out. And I mentioned to the fortune cookie distributor about 2 weeks ago, as I was putting in orders to be delivered, that I thought the Eagles were going to win. And then I just kept working at where I was going with the fortune cookies. Then a bundle was sent to the mayor of Gurnee, Mayor Brother Hood. And then fortune cookies were sent to several schools, and one of them was St. Joseph's Libertyville. The teens had gone to Philadelphia last summer to assist the seniors. I also sent to nursing homes, senior citizen centers, a couple of police departments, lots of schools, all different kinds of places. Fortune cookies went out. But the one that won the Super Bowl, the Eagle, for the how sweet it is, the fortune cookies on the fortune cookie side of the street, I didn't put that together until Monday after I listened to certain things that had happened with the Super Bowl. So it's been an incredible experience. They have a promo code, GIVE, and I loved spreading the joy. The other thing was a pizza place. I suggested that they put shaped fortune cookies in the shape of a heart on their pizza. And they absolutely loved the idea. They had half-off pizzas on Tuesday, by the way. So anyway, the unique thing was is that it was phenomenal, and that's why I asked you about the Guinness World Records, what their priority was for doing things that have some kind of contribution to making it unusual. And I thought all these fortune cookies nearing 2000 St. Valentine's Day, that it would be sort of an interesting avenue of approach. But it was wonderful. I really enjoyed it a lot. Fran, I put a prayer in with a mass request at St. Alphonsus for Chicago when she had pain in her hands. Good deal with her washing machine. And I think that's about it, except for a request for the Hall of the Seven Stars. This pizza song, when you walk down the street with the stars at your feet, then you know you're in love. So that's it for now.
All right, good deal. Thanks, Ruth.
Bye.
All right, so I'm writing this down. When you walk down the street with the stars at your feet, because I have no idea what that is, but maybe we will find out. All right, so let's see what else we have going on tonight. And, yes, I see that we've got an update from Laura in Des Plaines. What's going on, Laura?
Hey, I'm going to chemo in the morning.
Ooh.
Which, no, this sounds really weird. I almost look forward to it.
Okay.
Well, they put me in a lazy boy chair with heated blankets.
Yes.
Remote control.
Yes.
Snacks, juice.
Yeah.
And I fall asleep for 4 hours.
Well, if that's what happens each time, then yeah, you're certainly the winner there.
Now, I'm not saying that everybody has it that easy.
Because, I know, but if you do, yeah, that's terrific.
But, you know, I have to retest a few things next month.
Uh-huh.
What bothers me is they have to have somebody drop me off and pick me up. And I don't want somebody to have to sit there for 5 hours. I'd rather just go to my car and sleep for an hour, you know? But they won't do the procedure until I show some kind of evidence or that they talk to a person that is willing to drive me. So I'm going to have to start hunting.
Yes.
You know, people have to take off the day of work. And
right, exactly. Now, how far is it from you?
Well, I live by O'Hare, and it's Rush downtown.
Ooh, okay, so that's a heck of a trip, and that's not the kind of thing that you want to get an Uber for.
No, I can't. Besides that, they can't navigate these hallways. I can't ask an Uber driver to find these little offices and stuff. So, whatever, I got a few weeks to work on that.
Well, good. But I have a feeling you'll come through with something, because so far, man, you're trumping it all. That's great.
I don't know. I did something right in one of my lifetimes.
Yeah. And
how about one fast request?
Yes.
And I know it's not doo-wop.
Uh-oh, what is it?
I'm learning about doo-wop, and I'm not.
What is it?
Mickey Gillies, You Don't Know Me.
Okay.
By Mickey.
Okay. I will.
Okay.
Yes, I will. I will absolutely do that. All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Sure.
All right. Bye-bye. So, good stuff from Mickey. He did a lot of pop and R&B standards, and it's John's favorite version of Talk to Me. He mentions it all the time, but he did a lovely job of You Don't Know Me, too. All right. So, We're going to get to Nick in Baltimore in a moment right here on WGN Radio.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh Jane. Of course, it's Don Gardner and Dee Dee Ford on Fire Records. Yeah, does it get better than fire? And that was Stephanie and Madison who wanted to hear it, and now she has. All right, so we've got Nick in Baltimore. Hey, Nick, what's happening?
Hey, I'm back again.
All right, and I'm thrilled to hear it. Are you feeling okay?
No, I'm fine. I just wanted to, in general, I told John I was going to do some general radio stuff. I had a nice conversation with the good folks at Frontier Media in Juneau, Alaska.
Oh, good.
At KGNO, and a production director, was able to give me the URL, and I was able to put that in the radio, and the thing went dead, and he went in there, and he reset it. They were very, very nice.
Good.
In the front office up there. Really nice people. And the reason why I'm fascinated, because, you know, you get the local flavor and feel.
Sure.
You hear the local news. Just like what you get with GN, you get the local flavor of Chicago.
Oh, absolutely. Like I always used to say, you know, at 2 in the morning, KWAY even made Little Rock sound like the big time.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What's happening with that so far?
Nothing. Anything? Good. No, nothing. Nothing.
Anything?
Good.
Any news on that?
No, not a thing. But I'm glad you're asking me about radio news, because I don't know if he's listening. But I did look up all the information that Paul in Iroquois County wanted about the little radio stations that he likes listening to. And the reason that he's not hearing 1360 anymore is because they're off the air. And right. They're just gone. But the deal is, and I actually wrote all this out here. So IBK is off the air, but they have an FM station in Watsika and 94.1, which is HD. So what they did was they took the HD2 signal of it, and even though I hate it when people do this, and they put the old WIBK AM on it. And so now it's 96.9 WIBK, the buckle on FM, because they're using that HD2 of WGFA. So that's the deal. Now, the little translator, the 96.9, 250 watts at about 900 feet. So that's not bad. It's got a reasonable signal, so that's what he can hear. So hopefully, Paul, I hope you're hearing that, because that's what they are. All right.
Well, you know, that's kind of the same thing that WIBC did in Indianapolis with the HD2 as a sports format. I think
right. But didn't they put IBC on a legitimate FM, not a translator?
Maybe. I'm not sure.
I haven't
kept up with it.
That would be sad.
I know Urban One owns that whole cluster.
Yeah, WIBC 93.1. Didn't that used to be NAP?
Yep.
All right, so that's a full-time radio station. That's a nice signal. Yeah, so, okay, it's not on a translator.
They've got some good signals. He's got a good cluster over there. Radio One is, it's Urban One.
Yeah.
They're really pretty impressive now. They have some really good stations in their portfolio.
Oh, yeah.
He's brought in. And I give credit to Alfred Wiggins. He tried All News in Houston. And, you know, the guy tried it, and it didn't pan out. But,
well, yeah, no, he tried. And I liked his mom, Kathy Liggins Hughes. I thought Kathy Hughes was just she's still alive, I'm sure, so I don't mean to say it in past tense. Mm-hmm. But she was from Omaha, and I think she went to Creighton. And,
oh, really?
Yeah, absolutely. So she was an interesting gal. I would talk to her when I worked at Billboard. Because they had WOL, and of course, you know, the great soul rocker of the East Coast. Of course, they had the More Better Man on overnights.
Yeah, and I remember that.
I loved the More Better Man. You know?
Oh yeah,
he was a cab driver with oldies, and he'd play them on the air.
Oh yeah, but you know, it's interesting about you mentioned Kathy Hughes and, and Alfred Wiggins when they bought 102.3 from Outlet. It was Outlet Company that. It took over, and it was a soft rocker. They hired all of the ex-WMAL people briefly. They tried to make it a full service, you know, adult contemporary radio station.
Mm.
They tried to do that, go up against, I guess, Wash and all that, but it didn't.
Yeah, no, that's,
work. But they did try, and they hired all those guys that were laid off from MAL when they. Flip the talk, but you know, I wanted to say something here that I'm going to take a little deviation here, and you can tell me when the break is. It's about 26 after. I wanted to mention something. A friend of mine in high school, he just passed away about a year ago, actually saved my life in high school.
Wow.
And how that was we used to go over, from our school, we used to go over to Coppin State College and use the pool on Fridays.
Mm-hmm.
Well, on this one particular occasion, you know, I got in the pool. It was a big pool, you know, big pool service thing. And I slipped and fell and went to the bottom. And this guy, Michael Braden, saw me. And he pulled me out and had it not been for him, I wouldn't be here.
Wow. And is he still with us?
No, he passed away about a year ago.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Really nice guy, really nice man.
Oh.
If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here. Because
you never know. You know, I always leave that to the Lord. He only knows the date and time, not me. So, you know, you know, that's what they always say. It's above my pay grade. I don't know. But if you were supposed to be here, you're here, you know.
Yeah, and I'm very lucky to be here. I never talked about that. You know how what do they call that? You black things out in your mind?
Oh, sure you do. Sure you do. And you really see that a lot with people who have been through real hardships. And I noticed it first in the 60s when the war veterans who had been in World War II in just horrendous conditions, and here it is less than 20 years later, and they're all talking about what a great time they had on leave and all this, like it was just a fun time. And what they had done was blacked out all the atrocities. And what came to mind was, you know, the little stripper or whatever. And so I saw that the mind tends to forget the bad things as sort of self-preservation. Now, some people, sadly, dwell on them, and their life very often will be just dark like that all the time when they're not seeing that's only part of the picture. So that's why, you know, when people say you can't change the past, you actually can, because it's up to you to decide what part of it you want to keep in your present memories.
You build upon it.
Yes.
And that's the thing I had to do with a lot of bad experiences I had back in elementary school. But I built upon that and got stronger. And I just wanted to mention, and happy Valentine's Day to everybody.
Oh, yeah.
I just wanted to say that because there are a lot of people out there that are feeling bad. And, you know,
hang on a minute. Hang on. Don't go away. Stay right where we are. We'll pick it up right after the news right here on WGN Radio.
Dream on, dream on, teenage queen, prettiest girl we've ever seen.
There's a story in our town of the prettiest girl around. Golden hair and eyes of blue. How those eyes could flash at you.
How those eyes could flash at you.
Boys hung around her by the school, but she loved the boy next door who worked at the candy store.
Dream on, dream on, teenage queen, prettiest girl we've ever seen.
She was tops and all they said, it never once went to her head. She had everything it seemed, not a care this teenage queen.
Not a care this teenage queen.
Other boys could offer more, but she loved the boy next door who worked at the candy store.
Dream on, dream on, teenage queen, you should be a movie queen.
He would marry her next spring, save his money, bought a ring. Then one day a movie scout came to town to take her out.
Came to town to take her out.
Hollywood could offer more, so she left the boy next door working at the candy store.
Dream on, dream on, teenage queen, see you on the movie screen.
Very soon she was a star, pretty house and shining cars, swimming pool and a fence around, but she missed her old hometown.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Ballad of a Teenage Queen, Johnny Cash, and Jack Clement wrote that. That's on Sun, actually, so that's early Johnny Cash. And that was a request from Dave and Winthrop Harper, and now he's heard it. All right, so we're talking to Nick in Baltimore. I was just reading an article of some girl in Washington wrote about how she started to listen to WOL, and it was just hilarious. But she lost me when she said she'd never heard The More Better Man, so...
That was great. The More Better Man show.
Yeah, it was the best oldies ever. You know, I'd sit there all night long, and I'd love it. He'd come out to my mama sells Avon products. You know, well, there's a plug.
Yeah.
You know, and then of course the Moon Man, and you know what he used to call himself, and we can no longer say that on the air.
Yeah.
But he said it every day. You know,
he's still around.
Yes, doing a talk show.
Well, he's also doing an oldie show on Fridays.
Really?
On a high school station, actually. It belongs to Wharton High.
I'll be damned, because he's doing a Saturday night talk show on WOL.
I didn't know that, but I know he does the Friday night. It's 7 to 9, I think, Eastern Time.
Wow.
He's on WKHS, and he plays soul oldies.
Oh, good.
The Moon Man radio program.
Oh, man, yeah. Moon Man Radio with Moon Man.
Yeah.
Here it is. And
Willie Bacote.
Yeah, from the campus of Kent County High School. So,
Kent County High School, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
17,500 watts. And they're streaming on the web worldwide.
Oh, well, I got to check this out. Now, you knew his given name. I never knew this. Who was he?
Willie Bacote.
I'll be damned. Okay.
William Bacote.
I'll be damned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good guy. He's a good guy.
Oh yeah, but, you can tell that. There's no doubt about it. So yeah. All right. Well, good.
Yeah. Well, that's basically what I had tonight. I just wanted to thank you for the program. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody, and prayers to everybody. Hope James is doing well. And
yeah. Well, by the way, thank you for requesting Betty My Love, which hopefully you heard last night when I played it. It made me think of all the Answer records. So that was good.
That's a great record.
Yeah.
That was 1957, I think, right?
Yeah, right. And, of course, so weird since the lead singer, one of the teen queens, was Betty. So, yeah, Betty My Love.
That's a great, that was the year I was born.
Yeah. All right.
57. All right. Hey, thanks, Wally.
Hey, thanks
calling.
For the show. Appreciate it.
All right.
So, 888-876-5593 would be 8888-RALEIGH. And the hours are going by quickly, I do believe. All right. So, Karen in Chicago, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi. Oh, well, you're going to hate me. But you know that song that Ruth is trying to find?
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it is Dean Martin, That's Amore.
Really? Okay.
Well, okay. Now, the line that she gave you wasn't at the beginning. It's toward the end. It starts out when the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie. That's Amore.
Yeah, right, exactly. I know the record, but go on.
Oh, God, it's awful. I don't know the whole thing, but when she said that, the stars, you walk down the street and the stars at your feet, It isn't correct, I don't think, but that.
Well, the only thing I knew about stars in that record was when the stars make you drool like a pasta fazool, that's a moron.
That's probably it. But when you walk down the street, something at your feet.
When you dance down the street with a cloud at your feet, you're in love.
That's what I was thinking of when she said that.
Yeah, so it's not that, but no,
it isn't.
Because she seemed pretty assured in her lyrics, and I would think that she would have recalled when the stars make you drool like a pasta fazool. That would be something she'd remember.
But I'll tell you what, I'm glad it isn't.
Yeah, Rob. Well, you know, it is not the worst Dean Martin record.
No, it's not. But oh man. I got to where, you know, you heard it all the time, and it was like, oh, God, no, now you can't.
Yeah, right. Right, exactly.
Some records just hit me that way. I don't know why.
Right. Well, that maybe it is. She'll call in and tell us, but I don't think it's that Samori.
I'm probably wrong, but nothing like taking a guess at it.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the song makes me hungry. You know, you got pizza, you got pasta fazool. It's like, God damn, don't do this. I'm going to want to eat.
Oh, yeah. Well, hey, you know, I never thought of it that way. Wanted me to go in reverse.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
All right. Thanks for
calling.
Appreciate it.
And take care.
All right. You
thank
too. You. Okay, bye. All right. Who knows? So Ruth will have to vindicate herself and tell us whether... I don't think that's it. No time to look now. Let's see. What do we have? Carl in Riverside. Hello, Carl.
Yahoo, pasta fagioli.
Yeah, right. That's Samore.
All right. We'll do it ahead of time. You know, tomorrow's the day. So, hey, I don't have anything real. Oh, you know what? It just occurred to me that I slipped and fell. It's a week ago today, or a week ago yesterday.
How do you feel now?
So, I'm fine, but I still haven't gone to the doctor to get the pinky finger on my left hand checked out.
Well, is it getting worse?
I can't bend it all the way down, but no, it's just a little swollen and it doesn't bend all the way. So
I think you're okay. I mean, don't trust my opinion, but if it were me, yeah, that could wait. But, you know, Dave, don't trust me. Go to the doctor if you want to, by all means.
Hey, I tuned in late, but you played some Jobim.
Correct? Antonio Carlos Jobim and João Gilberto from 1959 in Rio.
Well, I always liked, what was her name, Astru Gilberto, right?
That was João's wife, the reluctant Astrid. She didn't really want to do it, but then she got into it, and then they got divorced.
They were married? I never knew that.
Well, how do you think she got the name? But of course.
Well, let's see. Antonio Carlos Jobim and Astru Gilberto.
No, they were not married. João Gilberto and Astrid Gilberto were married. See, Astrid was originally Astrid Weinert, all right? Her father was German, and it's not unusual in Brazil to have people that will have, like, a lot of different European names. So she was Astrid Weinert, and she married João. And
somebody told me that a long time ago.
Yeah,
not that, but that name, João, or something.
Yeah,
right?
It's João. Yeah, João. Yeah. Exactly. Portuguese.
If you do, and you'll have to clean it up.
What? Yeah. Well, so that was the deal. So, but then, oh man, she had an affair with Stan Getz, and
I'm just going to bring him up.
Yeah.
I like his
sexism. Well, all right. And she claimed that he mistreated her. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but she said she only did it because she needed money in the wake of her divorce. Now, I didn't know what money he gave her, but she considered the experience torturous. Yeah, she wrote about that.
Oh, I think I can sum it up like this. In other words, they had bad sex.
Well, yeah, right. There you go. That's terrible. Let's just move
right
along.
I have to apologize.
Along.
I had to do that.
Yeah, somehow I knew that was coming. All right. So that was the deal. And But basically, I think that she didn't get any royalties, which, you know, was the deal. And that's a whole other story. But anyway.
Raleigh, is she still around? Or
no,
did she
died in Philadelphia a couple of years ago, actually. She was 83. Her son is still around. And Marcelo, who had been, plays bass. He'd kind of been touring with her for a number of other years. And she has two more sons that kind of run the production company, not so much the rest of it. But anyway, yeah, that's the deal. So she wound up living here in the States for a long time.
I did not know that.
Yeah. And so absolutely. But yeah, she and Joie didn't make it, to say the least.
Well, nothing earth-shaking for you tonight. I told John I just wanted to tune in and say happy Valentine's Day, because it's Friday, right?
It is.
Although,
it absolutely is.
You're in Arizona, though, or
that
am
is true.
I incorrect on that?
That at the moment, okay. I am sitting in Arizona, yes.
Well, you know, I'm by Brookfield Zoo in the near western suburb of Chi-Town.
Yeah.
And it's 12:46 or thereabouts.
Right,
so,
exactly.
And it's cold.
Yeah, of course. It's
cold?
Very cold.
It's cold here.
You're in single digits. That's very cold. And in some places below zero. So, yes, that's cold.
Hey, tomorrow, Saturday, heat wave 35.
Oh,
next week,
well, glory
polar
be.
Polar vortex.
Oh, okay.
Polar vortex.
Well, see,
this
way you get to wear all your clothes. You know, the nice coats and all that. Look at it as a fashion opportunity.
I can't wait.
All right. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
You take care.
So you too. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. James is on the south side, and we'll be getting to him and his 9 zillion stories coming up on WGN Radio.
Sweet chocolate, chocolate malted candy, gumdrops, anything you want. You've come to the right man, because I'm the candy man.
Ooh. Who can take a sunrise?
Who can take a sunrise?
Sprinkle it with you.
Sprinkle it with you.
Cover it with chocolate and a miracle or two. The candy man.
The candy man.
Ooh, the candy man can.
Candyman
can, 'cause he mixes it with love and makes the world taste good.
Makes the world taste good.
Who can take a rainbow?
Who can take a rainbow?
Wrap it in a sigh.
Wrap it in a sigh.
Soak it in the sun and make a groovy lemon pie. The Candyman.
The Candyman.
The Candyman can. The Candyman can, 'cause he mixes it with love and makes the world taste good.
Makes the world taste good. The Candyman makes everything he bakes satisfying and delicious.
Now you talk about your childhood wishes. You can even eat the dishes. Oh, who can take tomorrow?
Who can take tomorrow?
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that, of course, is The Candyman, and that was Laura in Willowbrook wanted to hear that, and we're happy to play it for her. All right, so, yeah, I think that was, 1972, I believe that would be the deal, and, yeah, MGM, I remember it like it was yesterday. All right, so now, Blue Label, we have James on the South Side. What's up tonight, James?
Oh, I'm doing fine. I didn't overdo it.
Good.
I did do it. Okay, but I had a little help. The first somebody already done parts of certain things, so I didn't have as much to do. And then it was one who was so happy that I had done one thing for that. Okay, because he was an older guy, so I was glad to do that.
Okay, all right. But you didn't strain yourself, and you're no worse for the wear, correct?
Right.
All right, well, good. Good, good, good. All right, so
yeah.
Let's see. We all talk about making money the old-fashioned way. Well, that's what this guy was doing. He was printing it in his basement.
That's the old-fashioned side hustle.
Well, absolutely, and especially now, because all of that, it's not, I wouldn't think, like you could just take your standard RICO and do this, but apparently the police did bust him for this, and... how many people carry money anyway? Because a lot of people just don't use it. But that doesn't mean that criminals.
And there's a lot of businesses that won't even take cash anymore. They'll say, yeah. "Do you have a card or Apple thing or
yeah,
one
Apple
of those
Pay
charges.
Or all those?" I know. I do use the cards all the time. But let's face it, they're tracking us. You know, they're tracking us, and we don't own the information. The credit card companies can sell it. So, when I read that article, they said with technology so advanced, counterfeiters can set up shop in their basements. And I thought, I would think that it would be hard to print fake money.
I would, but guess what? Apparently, now, here's what's the thing that gets me about that. I remember this story that there was a story that was about money. It was on PBS years ago on Frontline. And basically where the Secret Service goes to these and checks out the newest printers and other technology.
Well, I guess my printer must have some features that I haven't found yet. I'm lucky to be able to print these damn certificates I'm sending to all you guys.
She's a good person. We won't bother her.
I don't know. It's
But there is an interesting story from the Civil War about that. Remember now, Lincoln created the Secret Service to protect the money.
Right.
Well, on the Confederate side, guess what? One guy got busted because guess what? You're not going to love this.
Yeah.
He got busted because his counterfeits were better than the real money.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. Well,
when I thought about that, I said, "Hey, in fact, that probably might be the thing behind how the Secret Service always keeps counterfeiters' signature ones, especially their best copies." Yeah. And they say, "Hey, especially if something's getting real close," and then they even have some of them on as advisors if something really pulses them. At least that's what the old story went.
But think about this: wartime is very interesting because I would think that counterfeiting laws wouldn't apply to countries you're at war with. So if you why print American dollars? You know, if we're in a war with a foreign country, print their currency.
Yeah, I would think so, but apparently some people just don't get that.
But I had heard about the Civil War that supposedly in the Civil War, a third of the money that was in circulation was counterfeit.
That is true. And in fact, I think both the Union and Confederate had to basically keep on changing up their money and that sort of thing. And I mean, unless you had a way of really keeping track of what was the newest thing and the newest ones.
Right.
I mean, it was really, I remember once I used to have a book on that. And I mean, when I looked at it, I said, I'm wondering how somebody didn't go stir crazy thinking, is this right or is that right?
Yeah, well, here you are. And, of course, here's the Secret Service. So what do? They go out and they hire counterfeiters. You know, they figure, and I think they also hired a murderer, and I wasn't sure what that was for. But I guess I could probably figure that out. But you betcha. So wartime is perfect for that as far as that goes. But I would have thought our currency today was, almost counterfeit proof. But I guess not.
Okay. You would think between, like, apparently they don't counterfeit the ones. They figure,
yeah,
hey,
why bother? Why bother? Exactly. Well, yes, and yeah. you can't counterfeit half a million because they don't have a bill for that. So I would assume,
right.
I would assume they like a 50s and a 100s.
Oh, yeah. In fact, the 100, the reason why when the new one came in, that it was considered monopoly money, and because of the way certain things that were happening, it was like the most, initially, one of the most easily counterfeited bills, and they didn't figure out why this was happening. In fact, there was like a local Walgreens near me that got for 100. Got messed up on 100.
Well, and that's the thing. When they change the money, the average, I mean, the government would know, I guess, but the average person wouldn't know if it's real or not. They hadn't seen much of it.
Yeah, and when they first came out, the 50 was actually easier to actually work around with because they did that one better than they did the 100.
Right.
The 100 was so much like it was monopoly money that you probably, I wouldn't be surprised if somebody who got set up monopoly board table and say, hey, give me a couple hundred just because it was so out there, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now here's now there's actually a true story out of Chicago. This was, oh my goodness, about 50 years ago, close to that. Okay, lady goes into one of these five and dimes,
yeah,
and she's getting some stuff, and so she puts out a 50.
Yeah.
Now, this was a 1962 era $50 bill. Those ones with the colorful blue green ink. I think I've only maybe once in my life I may have seen one of these.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the okay, and of course the pen doesn't work on it.
Right.
So they hustle this poor lady into the jail, and they basically have her all this. And also then the Secret Service come down and say, hey, it's a legit bill.
I love it. I love it.
And so, yeah, you can bet that somebody really got sued.
Well, you have ended the night, and next week we have to talk about the increase in chickens.
Oh.
All right, now, see, we can't keep talking because Bob will cut us off the air. So I will talk to you next week. All right.
One for me, okay?
Okay, all right, good deal. And that's it. Thanks to Bob for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, thanks to all of you who called. Monday Night Trivia coming up Monday. It's a replay on Friday. Until then, that's a wrap. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.